This is SB Nation Radio from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Joe Spano.
That's time to talk Super Bowl 52. And joining us is sports anchor from Boston 25. He's Tom Layden. We're going to talk about Super Bowl 52 from a Patriots perspective. Tom, welcome to the program. How are you today?
What's happening? How you guys doing? A little grovelly. It's been a long week. Talking a lot of loud locations, but we're ready to rock.
That's what I like to hear. Well, you might be on the injury report, but you're up and going to go. Let's talk about the Patriots injury report. Anything significant on there that we should know about?
What was really interesting, it's funny you say that, is it comes out on Friday, and we're looking at each other, and it looks unlike any other injury report we'd seen all year, because no names were listed on Friday. They have the names that have been listed all week, and then on Friday, there was just a whole bunch of dashes. And we're like, well, what does that mean? Did they not complete it? And it took about 30 seconds. We're like, oh, everyone's cleared. Okay, so there's nobody on the injury report. So they literally have no issues. Everybody who had issues throughout the week, whether it be Dietrich Wise or Malcolm Butler with his illness or obviously Gronk, they're ready to go. And so there'll be no intrigue, at least on the Eagles side, the Patriots side, about who's going to play tonight.
All right. I mean, is it gamesmanship by Bill, or is actually everybody ready to go?
No, I think everyone's ready to go. I mean, there's no question about the fact that Gronk's ready to go, and you know, Dietrich Wise was also dealing with the concussion thing, and I spoke with him this week, and he's ready to go. So, I don't think gamesmanship in that regard. And the same thing on the other side. I mean, the Eagles full participation on Friday for everybody on the squad. So, I think it's one of those Super Bowl Sundays where there's no concern on either side about who might take the field. That's great. Who needs that? That last-minute injury. How are you looking warm-ups? Is he going to play? We don't need any of that stuff.
All hands on deck makes it for a better game. And, you know, the Patriots have been here so many times before. And, you know, this is just routine for them. What have they looked like in this week leading up to the Super Bowl? Have they looked just ready and determined, or have they perhaps been complacent because, well, they've been down this road so many times before?
I would never call it complacency. I definitely think they feel comfortable. I also like, you know, touching base with the guys who've never been here, you know, with Brandon Cooks, with Rex Burkhead, with so many of the younger guys who haven't gone through it, because you take it for granted and I take it for granted. And one of the best things I heard actually was from Kyle Van Noy, who was on the team last year. And I just said to him, I'm like, you know, a lot of us like to put these teams together and stack them up and talk to them as a collective. And he goes, yeah, you do. And he made the point that it's not even just seasons that you can't do that with. He said, with our team, you can't even do that with games. He says, every single game is different because the coaching staff tells us at the beginning of the year that, you know, there may be a game you don't play. There may be a game you're not active because there's somebody else who better suits our needs for that specific matchup. So, you know, there's 53 on the roster, 45 who play on Sunday, and on any given week, there are 8 guys who may not be up. So he goes, there's a different recipe every week, and we approach every single game as its own little battle. And it sounds a bit cliche when you start talking about it that way, but I think that's what makes them successful, the fact that they do approach every single game with such intensity, and they don't take anything for granted.
But, you know, something else that's interesting and makes this team unique is something you mentioned in your answer about they basically rip up the playbook every week. Most teams around the NFL, and I safely say the other 31, they basically do most of the same things each week. Yes, they tweak things based on strengths and weaknesses of their opponents and to some degree their own strengths and weaknesses. But on a week-in, week-out basis, teams that do something in week one usually do pretty much the same things in week 14, 15, or 16. They run their offense. They run their defense. I think what separates Bill Belichick from every other coach in the NFL more than anything else is the fact that one week they could throw it 50 times, the next week they could run it 50 times, and on a week-in, week-out basis, this doesn't even look like the same coaching staff, the same playbook, and the offense and defense sometimes have nothing in common from one week to the next. It's not about a system. The system is winning and outsmarting the opposition as opposed to running the West Coast offense or the 4-3 defense or the 3-4 defense.
Yeah, and I think you see the other approach with the Steelers. You know, the Steelers are so committed to the way they run defense, which we in New England think is ridiculous because every time they go against the Patriots, they're just like, well, here's what we do. And then Brady's like, well, here's what I do against that. And we win all the time. So they don't make that adjustment. But I'm curious to see today, how cute both sides get with each other. You know, there's going to be such pressure put on Brady because, in my estimation, the only way a team beats New England in the postseason is if they kick his butt all day and they keep him on his toes all day and they make him make super quick decisions all day. But you got to figure that they know, based on the fact that that's been the track record over the years, that that's how teams want to beat him. So in my mind, it's like, okay, if Philly starts coming after him early, they got it. For the last 2 weeks, they must have been planning some sort of counterattack. So I'm almost waiting for that. Okay, if he gets knocked down a few times or he gets sacked a few times early, what's going to be the answer? And I think it's a long time ago, but you even look back 13 years ago when they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl. That Eagles defense back then was all about aggression as well. Now, they had a different cast of characters, but Jim Johnson loved to come after the offense. And I remember vividly what the Patriots did to slow down their blitz and keep them off balance and make sure that they couldn't jump the count, is they literally went through a series of dummy signals. So they went through the cadence twice. So that, and I'd never seen that before. So that's the kind of stuff that I love. You know, they'd run the cadence once, and it was a complete set of dummy signals, and it would kind of keep the Eagles off balance. And then they started it again, and they went. So that means you're moving up to the line of scrimmage early, you're assessing it as quickly as you can, and you're trying to do something to keep that defense off balance. Now, how smart is Philly going to be to counteract that? And what's their answer going to be? So in many ways, it's going to be a battle of wits, and I just hope neither team gets a little too cute trying to get further away from what has gotten them to this point.
Tom Layden, sports anchor from Boston 25 News, joining us here on SB Nation Radio. And it's interesting, and I guess on many levels, you know, from a New England offensive perspective, the battle is, how do the Patriots keep Brady clean? And in turn, for the Eagles on defense, how do they keep Brady from exploiting their shaky secondary? I guess that's the battle on offense for New England versus that Eagles defense. That's really the chess game, isn't it?
I agree with you, and I am so intrigued to see how well that Patriots offensive line is going to try to handle these guys because they're so different. You know, Jim Schwartz trots out these dudes who are, you know, incredibly fast, and they may not be the biggest guys, but you're going to have interior linemen going up against guys who are much quicker than they are. So they hopefully will have had to prepare for that. But I think the Patriots have the best offensive line coach probably in the history of football in Dante Scarnecchia. So, again, that's why I'm so intrigued to see how they plan to protect Tom. And if they can't protect him, what they're going to implement to make sure, whether it's the running game, whether it's quick pitches, whether it's a screen pass to Burkhead or Deion Lewis or James White, what are they going to do to try to keep that defensive line honest? Because they do want to try to go after the safeties and the cornerbacks, but they're never going to be, I mean, I guess Brandon Cooks is your deep threat, so maybe if they figure out something with those defensive backs today, Brandon Cooks has a lot of yards. You never know.
Well, now you get to the battle, the Eagles offense versus the Patriots defense, and one thing we've seen success from Nick Foles from over the last few weeks after he got his feet under him as the starting quarterback was the run-pass option, the RPOs. And they had great success throwing out of that. Well, Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia have had 2 weeks to prepare for that. And you give those two guys 2 weeks, and they're usually going to come up with something. Any idea what kind of wrinkles we're going to see to limit the success of the RPOs in the passing game for the Eagles?
I think that middle linebacker position is going to be so key, not only in getting everybody set and situated for each and every play, but also how's that going to react and sort of identify what's going on pre-snap. And I also will say this. I wouldn't be surprised if Philadelphia scores a little bit early because what happens is the Patriots sometimes surrender some points early, as we've seen in last year's Super Bowl, as we've seen against the Jaguars. But what they're able to do is they're able to figure it out. And the key to that thing is that once they figure it out and come up with some sort of solution for it, you can't make mistakes. You can't do the stupid stuff. You know, once you're in a little bit of a hole, perhaps, you can't be having deep pass interference plays, or you can't have defensive holding, or you can't jump off sides on a third and four. You know, you can't extend drives that way. So I think a very disciplined approach and making sure you don't beat yourself. If you go back to when it was 28-3 last year, and you've seen it in the NFL films presentations, these guys looked at each other and said, we have to be perfect. And from that point, the only penalty that was called on New England for the entire rest of the game was when they attempted an onside kick and it didn't go 10 yards. So besides that, they did play a nearly perfect football game to come back and beat them. So you can't make stupid mistakes in the second half of a Super Bowl.
Well, I guess the big thing, Tom, and obviously this Patriots defense, you look at the statistics over the course of the entire season and you go, meh. But the realities are they got off to an awful start in September. By mid-October, this defense had really ramped up and started playing some pretty darn good football. Yes, they bend a little bit. They don't break a lot. But they're going to be challenged in many ways by a very physical Eagles running game and the Eagles' desire to stay ahead of the chains. Talk a little bit about the matchup of that Patriots defense versus that very physical, pounding Eagles running game.
Yep, you make a great point. And I think that they're going to miss Dante Hightower today, because when you look at the last two Super Bowls they've won, you know, he's the guy who made really the key play. Everyone looks at Malcolm Butler and say he made the key play. But if Dante Hightower doesn't tackle Marshawn Lynch on the play before, the interception is not even possible on the next play. And, of course, last year he sacks and forces the fumble on Matt Ryan. I want to know who's going to make the big play. I think the defensive line, interesting how they've added Harrison to the mix. He's got to get that edge, right? He's got to get out there. He's got to make sure that those guys make some sort of commitment and keeps that ball inside the box. I think the guys on the other side, Dietrich Wise, is going to be very key, right, to make sure that Trey Flowers is going to be real key to make sure that you get that edge and keep that ball inside. Because if they start spreading that field and moving you around and running you on every single play back and forth and back and forth, they're going to tire you out. They're going to be in an advantage, and you want to, you hear about shortening the game. I think you want to shorten plays, keep that field narrow, and make sure that they're running the ball inside. And then they might try to get a little cute, though. You've seen them run some flea flickers. You got to, you know, keep your head. You got to be smart. You got to make sure that you don't get beat. You don't bite on stupid stuff. And then the last thing I'll point out in this regard, great point by our analyst, Matt Chatham, who is a former Patriot, won three Super Bowls, been with us all week. I said, what about LeGarrette Blount? What effect is he going to have in the game? He said, you know what effect he might have? They're down at the goal line. Here's the guy who you know is going to pound it in. He's done it all last year for you, and he's done it this year for Philadelphia. Everyone thinks he's getting the ball. Well, guess what? He may not. They may put him in there, and they're going to say, everyone thinks he's getting the ball. And he's hyped up, and he's the guy who's going up against his old team. That's where you look for somebody besides him. Maybe a rollout. Maybe a play-action fake that goes to the tight end. Maybe that's how they use him in the goal line situation, because they know that the Patriots expect he's going to get the ball.
I think you said it all. I think you said it very well. We got about 2 minutes left, so before I get your pick, I got to ask you about covering cold weather Super Bowls. I know I've been at a bunch of them, and I always hated cold weather Super Bowls because one of the reasons I went to cover the Super Bowl is so I could get a golf game in February. Are you missing a warm weather Super Bowl, and are you enjoying Minneapolis?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great point. I haven't been a huge fan of the experience. I think the people are nice. But when you walk outside and your face hurts, I mean, you can't be in a good mood. You know, it's impossible. And you just look around like, what are we doing here? Particularly when you're a group that's gone to so many different Super Bowls in different locations, and most of them are warm. And then you end up here, you're like, oh, my God, I'm wrecking my shoes. I'm walking through slush. It's freezing cold. My face hurts. You know, I'm not a huge fan. Great for Minnesota. Glad that they got the Super Bowl. But I'll be happy when it's Miami, when it's Atlanta, when it's L.A., get me someplace warm. The people have been nice. But I
man after my own heart, my friend. Real quick before we let you bounce, it's pick'em time. Give me a score and tell me how it unfolds in about 60 seconds.
I have more faith in the New England coaching staff to come up with a plan that's going to baffle Nick Foles. And the New England offense, led by the greatest of all time and the NFL MVP, to get it done tonight. All that being said, Philadelphia has won all year when I thought they were going to lose. So that's the only thing that gives me pause. But I just think that this is where it ends. So I'm going to give you New England 31, Philadelphia 21, and we'll see where it stands at the end of the night.
Tom, excellent. Great stuff, man. Don't forget to bill TV 25 News for the expensive shoes that you lost slushing your way through Minneapolis, because they can swing it.
Right, good point. I'm going to clip that, and I'll put that, attach it to my expense report from my boss. I appreciate you saying that.
Tom, thanks for a few. Enjoy the game and try and stay warm, my friend.
All right, be good. See you later.
Bye-bye now. Tom Leighton, sports anchor, Boston 25 News, joining us here on SB Nation Radio and breaking down Super Bowl 52 from a Patriots perspective. We'll tie a bow around hour one next here on SB Nation Radio. I'm Joe Spano in New York, Gio Lopez in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston producing this thing. You be sure to keep it where it is.